So, Bob, tell me, what's the state of Americana music these days? You went to Americana Fest. You must know now.
I know, because every time I go to Americana Fest, you know, Americana Fest is a festival of music. It's sort of country-based music, lots of good storytelling songs and stuff. And it happens in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, and so you think the South, you think country. And I have found the best Australian bands ever.
whenever I go to Nashville.
But this year I didn't do that. This year I found the best Acadian-Canadian artist.
Acadian-Canadian?
Well, she's an Acadian, like you know, who are related to the Cajun population, but she lives in Canada, and her name is Lisa LeBlanc.
Lisa LeBlanc.
I don't know what it is, but I wind up not discovering the locals, but I wind up discovering people from about as far away as imaginable.
Yeah.
So I walked into this room, again, like many music festivals, lots of different spaces become places for bands to play, and walked in and saw this woman, Lisa LeBlanc. And two things with Lisa. One is that she's a great storyteller. I'm going to play a song that's called 5,748 Kilometers. It's like one of those Courtney Barnett moments where she's telling you a story and you know she's telling it right to you. And it's funny. And then she bashes into this punk rage banjo picking song after it.
So, punk banjo.
Banjo rage. Kind of, yeah. So let me go ahead. I've talked a lot. Let me go ahead and play Lisa LeBlanc, and I'm going to play this song, 5,748 kilometers.
Straight, you're in Vancouver and I'm in New Brunswick. That makes 5,748 kilometers. We're talking two different oceans, four time zones apart, 7-hour plane ride plus connections. A 6-day drive, if you don't stop to pee too much, it's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had. I really do. That's a lot of writing about your day and sending letters by pigeon. That's a lot of I miss yous and I wish you were here's. A lot of X's on the calendar and X's for kisses. A life of hellos and a life of goodbyes. It's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but yes, I really do. Well, maybe we're crazy or just plain stupid, but God, it feels good, my God, it feels nice. Just try to enjoy it without thinking too much. I don't know, just go with the flow. It's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but I love you, yes, I really do. So let's get this straight. You're in Vancouver, and I'm in New Brunswick. That makes 5,748 kilometers. We're talking two different oceans, four time zones apart, 7-hour plane ride plus connections. A 6-day drive, if you don't stop to pee too much, it's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but I love you. Yes, I really do. Well, I love you. Yes, I really do. Well, I love you. Yes, I really do.
That was lovely, but I kept waiting for this big banjo breakdown.
No, the banjo breakdown is like the next song she did. Here, I'll do this. It's called Ace of Spades. It's like...
Okay, I got you. Oh, yeah, the little surfer guitars.
Yeah. Too. So it was super fun, and I'm not knowing at all what to expect from Lisa. Both things were a surprise. The charm and warmth and the beauty and simplicity of the lyrics of that song really touched my heart. And then the insane energy that happened after that were just two things that really got me. I went up to her and I said to her, so what happened? You know, what happened in the relationship?
Yeah.
And she turned and looked behind over her shoulder, and the rockin' bass player in the band, that was the guy.
It's always the bass player. It's always the bass player.
Also, she is up for, do you know what a Polaris Prize is?
Sure.
So she's on the short list, 10 artists. It's a merit award for artistic merit in Canada. And that happens like 5 hours from when we're recording. So by the time we post this show, she may have won the Polaris Prize, but regardless, she's one of 10 artists up for winning a Polaris Prize.
Wow,
her name
is
Lisa LeBlanc. The record, which came out in 2016, is called Why You Want to Leave, Runaway Queen, with a question mark.
Very nice. You know, speaking of banjo breakdowns and great storytelling and comedy, we had Steve Martin in here for Tiny Desk this past Friday you were in Nashville. He and his phenomenal band, the Steep Canyon Rangers, came in, and it was such a delight. He was funny, credible playing from him and the whole band. We're going to post that Tiny Desk on the 25th, September 25th.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't have anything that's going to...
Okay, so I got another song then.
...that feels natural coming out of it. So I guess I'll just go to Bjork. She has a new single that she just dropped this past week called The Gate. We've known for a while that she had new music that she was working on. She had posted a handwritten note on her Facebook page a couple months ago, I think it was, saying that the new album is imminent. You know, her last record in 2015, Vulnicura, it was a breakup record. There's a lot of heartache in it. It was documenting the end of her 13-year relationship with the artist Matthew Barney. This new music shows that she has sort of emerged on the other side. This new song called The Gate is very much a love song, a song of healing. And there's just so much passion and yearning and beauty and wonder in this music. And I think when you listen to it, the first thing you'll think is that, this is vintage Bjork. This is when she's at her best. The song is called The Gate.
Where I give love from. splattered light beams into prisms. That will
her songs just always feel so alive to me, like you're almost listening to the sound of the songs breathing in and out. You know, they sort of heave and sigh, and then there's often a moment like in this song where it all just blooms and opens up and becomes this majestic thing before settling back down.
I love that opening line. Were you going to quote the lyrics at all? Because there was in the top of the song, because the last record, like you said, was such a breakup record, and it starts by saying, my healed chest wound transformed into a gate where I receive love from, where I give love from, and I care for you.
Yeah, a lot of the artwork for Volna Kirina had, her chest was literally split open, like her heart had been removed.
And in this video, it's all about light.
For the gate.
The video for this record is, the light is being received, and...
Yeah,
it's pretty beautiful.
She said, Bjork said in an interview with Dazed magazine, she says that this new record, she calls it my tender album. Tinder album. I'm quoting her here. She says
you didn't say Tinder. You
Tinder, know. Tinder, T-I-N-D-E-R, not Tinder.
No, no, not
T-I-N-D-E-R.
Oh, you weren't kidding.
Yeah, like the app.
Oh, like I thought it was like a Tinder record.
No, and here she's Tinder, wow. Like very tender. She says the record is definitely about that search and about being in love. Spending time with a person you enjoy on every level is obviously a utopia. And what she means, you know, like Tinder. Yeah, you're like. You're searching. That app is all about you're looking for someone. You're swiping left or right trying to find somebody. And she says this record is about looking for that thing that she admits is a utopia that doesn't probably exist, you know. And part of the secret to having a successful relationship is understanding that you will never find someone you are happy with all the time, with everything, all the time. That utopia doesn't exist. Lord knows that's why I've settled.
Whoa.
She doesn't listen to
the
show.
I was going to say, she never listens to the show anyway, so whatever.
No, anyway, it's being widely reported that this record by Bjork is called, the new full-length
We're
record is called, Utopia, but I can't get anybody to confirm that for me, but if you look online, you will probably see it referred to as Utopia. We do know that it's coming sometime in November, and that's the first song we've got from it, The Gate. You know, I think I should just keep on going here because there's a connection between this next artist and Bjork. When I was listening to The Gate, I kept thinking, wow, this sounds so much like something Burial would do, the dubstep producer Burial would do. And I looked into it and I found out, in fact, Bjork's new record was co-produced by Arca, the producer and electronic artist Arca, who sounds an awful lot like Burial. They both
just
sound like
too many people.
Burial and Arca. Anyway, Arca produced this. But it turns out, just coincidentally, on the same day that Bjork released this song, The Gate, Burial released a new song as well called Rodent. If you're not familiar with him, he just makes this super, super moody music that he always makes great use of space. There's always this sort of ambient moment where the song just feels to stop for a second and you're suspended in whatever sound he's created and it just hangs there for a minute before you fall back down into the mix. It's always breathtaking to me. I have no idea what this song is about. I never know what any of his songs are about, but it's called Rodent.
I bet it's about a rat.
There's never a clear narrative to his songs, you know? No. Never a clear narrative. He really just writes about mood. He's about capturing a mood or a feeling, mm-hmm. And that's what you get with this new song from Burial. It's called Rodent.
Come here, love. What will I do without you?
Thank you. like you.
So you ask, what is she saying over and over? I said, it's obvious to me. She was saying, what would I do without you? Don't know what I'd do without you.
You'd think in that 5.5 minutes she'd figure it out. I mean, sorry.
4.5 minutes. But she did sing that quite a few times in there, I guess.
But the rodent part.
The rodent, I don't know who rodent. Maybe rodent's like a nickname for someone she
that's a cute
she
nickname.
Loves. And you little rodent. I like that.
I'm just going to start calling you that.
You know, Burial's music has always has this great slow burn feel to it. And can you imagine any of his music ever being played in bright on a bright cheery day? I mean, it's always raining, it's always night with his music, which is a vibe that I'm always a sucker for. He's released a handful of songs so far this year on his way to putting out a full length record that we also don't know what it's called or
Utopia.
When it's coming out. It's called it's called Utopia. Oh, that's right. Burial, that dude always keeps a low profile. You know, he never gives interviews or talks much about his music or anything like that when he puts out new songs. But anyway, that one's called Rodent from Burial. You know what?
It feels like break time.
It does feel like. I smell lunch.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo is proud to work with United Way to offer financial education and services to help people rebuild their lives. Here's United Way Atlanta's Diane McCants.
Working with individuals who are really determined, really focused, that's the part that I really enjoy the most, being able to empower them to do the things that they want to do.
Wells Fargo is building better every day. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/better.
Support also comes from Lyft, reminding listeners that they could be relaxing in a Lyft ride right now with their eyes closed, listening to Beethoven or whale sounds or a babbling brook or something else relaxing. Lyft provides rides as relaxing as the buttery smooth voice of a public radio announcer because riding is just a more relaxing way to drive. Lyft, it matters how you get there. Download and ride today.
What do you got now, Boylan?
Yeah, so I was thinking about Nashville still. It's still on my mind. And one of the things that happened in Nashville was there are panels as part of this Americana Music Festival during the daytime. And, you know, for some, it's for sort of industry people. Like there was a panel on videos on the radio. Like what's the point of a radio station putting videos on their website or whatever. But one of the panels I went to was by Julie Hite. She's a writer for us, and she's based in Nashville. And she did a panel about the personal being political. And she did it with a number of songwriters. And one of the songwriters she had on this panel was Patterson Hood from Drive-By Truckers, who's written of, you know, the last recent Drive-By Truckers records, an incredibly powerful record about racism and America and the South. And he told this story that I'd never heard of, which is, you know, after Neil Young did Southern Man on After the Gold Rush and stuff, there's some people, including
Leonard Skinner,
including Leonard Skinner, who reacted to that song basically saying, hey, you know, we're not all awful people. You know, we're not all George Wallace. And hence this song, Sweet Home Alabama, which was a reaction to that. And apparently Neil Young took an affinity to that song, Sweet Home Alabama, and wanted to give one of his songs to Lynyrd Skynyrd. And the song he wanted to give to them was Powderfinger, which is the, you may have heard it, well, you would have heard it first on Rust Never Sleeps. On the electric side of Rustlin Never Sleeps, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just seemed, it's odd to me that he wanted to make this gesture because maybe I have it wrong, but I thought a Sweet Home Alabama was them giving Neil Young the finger.
Well, yes, but it also was a way of saying, hey, everybody in the South's not, you know.
Right, yeah.
At least the way Patterson tells the story, and I've read other things since, that he was going to give Powderfinger to Lynyrd Skynyrd, and then very shortly after, the plane crash happened, which Ronnie Van Zandt was killed. And I'm thinking about all this in Powderfinger, not just because of the story Patterson Hood told, but also because of that beautiful acoustic version, which was never released, of Powderfinger, was to come out around 1976 on an album called Chrome Dreams. It never came out, and it just finally came out. We did a first listen,
right, on the Neil Young record just a couple weeks ago,
right, an acoustic record called Hitchhiker, which I actually hadn't gotten to listen to until I got on a plane to go to Nashville. And so all these things congealed with me, and it's just such a beautiful song. It's a song basically about a boat coming down the river, and this young man who's the only one there to defend his family picks up a rifle to defend his family and is killed, and he's the one you'd never figure to have picked up that gun, but there he was, and he loses his life. And it's, anyway, it's beautiful.
I don't see any reason to
tune.
Listen to the song now.
No. I could sing it.
No, here.
I love this song so much. Let's listen to Powderfinger by Neil Young.
Look out, Mama, there's a white boat coming up the river with a big red beacon and a flag and a man on the rail. I think you better call John, 'cause it don't look like they're here to deliver the mail, and it's less than a mile away. I hope they didn't come to stay. It's got numbers on the side and a gun, and it's making big John's been drinking since the river took Amilou. So the powers that be left me here to do the thinking, and I just turned 22. I was wondering what to do, and the closer they got, the more those feelings grew. Rifle in my hand felt reassuring. He said, red men run, the numbers add up to nothing. When the first shot hit the dock, I saw it coming. Raised my rifle to my eye, never stopped to wonder why. I saw black and my face splash in the sky. Shelter me from the powder and the finger. Cover me with the thought that pulled the trigger. Just think of me as one you never figured. We fade away so young, with so much left undone. Remember me to my love, I know I'll miss her.
Young so much. Man, this makes me want to just take off the rest of the day and just put on one record after the other by him.
Okay. You've got to top it. I don't.
I can't really top that.
All right.
I think there are some better Neil Young songs than that one, but did you have anything else you were going to say about this release?
I just got so lost in listening to the words and the sadness of someone dying young and all that. So Neil Young's record, if you haven't heard, is called Hitchhiker. It's a album of acoustic songs that never did come out.
Versions of acoustic songs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pretty brilliant. Still holds up. He could have, having seen so much of that singer-songwriter sorts of music all weekend, he still would have come up on top lyrically, storytelling wise, from everyone I saw this.
Yeah.
Mickey's.
Well, that's a pretty high bar.
Yeah.
I think my favorite Neil Young record's got to be Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. Cinnamon Girl, Down by the River, Cowgirl in the Sand.
Half our audience has no idea what we're talking about. We probably ought to move on.
All right. Well, listen, I've got one more song I want to play. And I have to, full disclosure.
Someone paid you to do this?
No. It's an R&B song.
Support for this song is
much. I admit it, I'm not a huge R&B fan. I think part of the reason I'm not is because there's always so much melisma in R&B, and that I just recoil every time I hear that, which is, you know, when you take a single note or vowel and
stretch it up
and down the, you know. But every now and then something comes along that just lands perfectly for me. And there's an R&B artist named Kalela who manages to do this more often than a lot of other artists. I've been spending time with her record that she has coming out called Take Me Apart. She's a second-generation Ethiopian-American. She's born here in D.C., grew up in Maryland. She's now based out of Los Angeles. And this debut record, Take Me Apart, is coming out later this fall. It definitely, if you listen to the whole record, it definitely has a lot of those traditional R&B moments, particularly in some of the layered harmonies, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, and the beats. But there's some really captivating moments in her music, particularly in this opening track to the record called Frontline. I actually think when I listen to the song Frontline, I hear a lot of sonic overlap with the song and Burial and the Bjork. It's sort of like a Venn diagram where these three songs meet. I think you'll hear that in this one. Kalela, Frontline.
There's a place you hold I left behind. I'm finished. Since you took your time, you should know why I'm quitting. The secrets I hide, I do nothing. You'll always deny we're going in circles, but I'll override the beat when I, but I burn inside. In the back of my mind, I hear nothing. Keep this feeling alive, I've been nothing now. Then I'm in my right. Anything I left behind don't mean nothing now. Baby, but it ain't no use. See, it wasn't looking when I pushed. Hold up, wait, you fucking with my groove. Get it on this plane, making moves. Cry and talk about it, baby, but it ain't no use. I ain't gonna sit here with your rules. I don't know how to live it. And it broke me down. I almost drowned. It's not the ending. It's not the ending. The secrets I hide, I do nothing. You'll always deny. Yeah.
Sometimes it's the littlest moments in a song that'll get it over the line for me, and that it's at the end of this song, that little cinematic moment where she gets in her car and drives off is the one that sealed it for me with this song, although there's so much else that I love about it too. But, you know, I was thinking as I was listening to this that one of the things that people either love or hate about R&B music is the purity of the voices, right? I mean, if you're someone who likes your voices and, you know, your singers to be a little ragged around the edges or something like that, you know, a little rougher or quirkier or something like that, you're probably not going to fall for a song like this because Kalela has such a perfect, completely unflawed voice. I mean, it is a perfect voice, and it's very smooth. But I like what she does with it in this song. There's some interesting intonation and punctuation in the rhythm of her voice that worked really nicely for me.
I was thinking about what you're saying about R&B, and I saw on Saturday night, back to Nashville again, because I'm still leaving it, even though I'm here, the most incredible R&B show I've ever seen. And it was by the legend Don Bryant. Now, Don Bryant was a songwriter and a musician for High Records. Al Green, if you think Al Green, or you know, the I Can't Stand the Rain, Ann Peebles. He was married to Ann Peebles and wrote that song. I'm going to maybe be wrong by a few years, but he's roughly in his upper 70s, we'll say. And he came out and just rocked the house.
Yeah,
it was
that's
just
awesome.
The purity of how he sang and looking at you in the eyeballs, everybody, he was telling them about the meaning of love and the meaning of heartbreak and the meaning of believing. And, oh, man.
That's so much of what R&B music is. It's really love and relationships. And this song from Kalela, in fact, is a breakup song. Frontline, her record, Take Me Apart. I love that title, Take Me Apart. It is out October 6th on Warp. Speaking of rock stars.
Oh, yeah. Here she is, our own rock star, who no one knows. We have never had you on our show. Your voice is unheard. I'm here with Lindsay McKenna, and she is our social media. She is our voice, but you've never heard.
Nobody would even know anything about anything if it weren't for her.
I'm going to take out our mic out. No. Hi.
Hi. I'm the voice behind the voice. It's sort of intimidating
to
have my voice heard.
Well, I was going to play this song by Brand New, and then I realized I saw somewhere in some chat room where we're talking about maybe a tiny desk with them and all that stuff, and I just like the enthusiasm, I think, that you alluded to made me think maybe Lindsay ought to bring this song to the table.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to bring Brand New to the table. I've been a longtime fan. Dejan 2 was released in 2003, and I think what's remarkable here is that this is a single that was sort of on rotation in alternative radio. It was on MTV. I think that got Brand New lumped into this category of pop punk that a lot of people might have discarded them. They were popular in that era. They have these self-referential lyrics, but I think that there's always been a deeper gravity in their lyrics than people give them credit for. And that really came to the forefront when they released The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, a great record, totally worth checking out for anyone that's not familiar.
What's it called again? The Devil?
The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me.
The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me.
Wow. And that was out in 2006. And over the years, you know, they've just really developed this mythology. They've printed t-shirts that say Brand New 2000 to 2018. So who knows what's at stake and what's going to happen next, but this track, Can't Get It Out, off of Science Fiction, it's really emblematic of the record to me, that it's really dense, but it's also really listenable. They've always tackled theology and mental health in their lyrics, and I think that that's on display here.
And the first song that's just before this is the second cut. We're going to play the second cut, but the first cut is a 6-minute. It's with kind of a woman's voice about talking about being in a dream. Yeah, let me just play it because my imitation is not very good.
This tape recounts a dream which occurred close to the termination of approximately 400 hours of intensive individual therapy.
That is so creepy.
It really is, but it doesn't, I mean, this record really rocks.
This record is so, I mean, just put it on your car. Yeah.
This record really rocks.
Well, I thought of that for you because you're going to, I play a lot of stuff that has power to it. You would say that after this song if it wasn't going to be the song we're going out
on. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Trust me.
I don't trust you. I trust Lindsay, though. If she says it rocks, it rocks. Right.
So what's the name of the song we're going to play?
The song is called Can't Get It Out.
All right. We're not coming back because we're done.
This is it.
This is how it ends.
We can get this out. We're going to get this song out, and then you won't hear from us again.
Okay. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Hilton.
Bye, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. You ready?
Let's do it.
I really hope the shit.
man, that rocked so hard. You're right. I have to totally
admit. You know the Bitmoji that's the shoulders are up and it says,
yeah,
am
see,
I right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Am I right?
No, that rocked. That was good. Good stuff.
Yeah.